Recording has started.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCSG monthly policy call on Tuesday, 20th of February, 2018. On the call today, we have Asin Tungali, Colin Corey, Farrell Foley, GZ Kabir, Rafik Damak, Tatiana Tropina, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik.
Thanks, Mariam, and thanks for everyone who made it for today's call. So hopefully we will have more people joining us during the call, but let's start. As usual, we go through the Genesis Council call agenda. So yeah, we have that call on Thursday, and this is the preparation for the counselor and also an opportunity to consult the membership and inform them about the topic for discussion and also the motion for vote. So let's start with that. And the first agenda items are mainly administrative ones, so we don't need really to cover them. But usually we spend a fair time during the Genesis Council to go through the action items and the project list to see the status of the different working groups and if there is any concern. The first item or motion for vote is the adoption of the charter related to next steps for the ICANN procedure of handling QIS conflict with the privacy law. So this motion was deferred from last time, and the topic has been for a while in the council agenda. So what we are suggesting here is to set up a new what we call IAG, I think it's Implementation Advisory Group, to handle an implementation issues regarding the WHOIS conflicts with the privacy law and creating a process that can help the registrar of the matter. So there was a previously a group. They produced, a report and a recommendation, and then there was a public comment. And so this new group is tasked, if it's created, is tasked to cover that public comment and respond to it in some way. So, as said, this motion was deferred from the last call, because one of the concern here is that we have several initiative and efforts related to WHOIS. So, for example, we have the RDS working group, we have the RDS review team, and most importantly, important is the GDPR discussion, and I think it's taking a lot of bandwidth. So we have kind of different part within the GNSO, they are keen so to help this this group or team to start the work in the coming month or weeks, while some are raising concern about the bandwidth for the community to handle another front, something related to WHOIS, since we have all the GDPR discussion. So we have a motion and the charter to vote on. I don't think the charter itself raises any concern in terms of scope or what we are expecting from this group, but it's really more a question of resourcing and timing in relation to all the dependency for the WHOIS. So the question for us is, I guess we will vote. Probably yes, that's my feeling for now. And also we are seeing the response from other groups in the council list. So I can understand maybe from the IPC, they are fine, at least what I saw from one person verifying to vote yes. While it seems the registrar, even if they vote yes, they are asking for a small amendment in terms of when we have the call for volunteers for this group. So I think from our perspective, it's just we need to understand how we see this. Is do we think that we can handle? Does it make sense to have this in the coming month? Should be depending of the outcome of the GDPR work or not? So, and I see that Tatiana is in the queue. Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafik. Hello, all. Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. Well, at the last GNSO Council meeting, it made sense to me completely all the arguments that there is no bandwidth, that there is uncertainty when this group starts from the previous motion. There was no starting date, and it looked like it had to start immediately. But the last argument, the person who actually put this motion forward, one of the persons, he's Dreitzek from VeriSign, he said, and this argument made a lot of sense to me, that even the compliance models with GDPR, whatever ICANN will choose, will not solve all the conflicts which can arise in the national jurisdictions with local law and who is. So I do believe that we have to vote yes, as you said, but maybe it would be a good idea to support registrars in postponing the call for this group due to low bandwidth and volunteers who have to deal with all these GDPR issues right now till May. So maybe it does make sense to compromise here and say, let's start this group like end of May, beginning of June, and put it into the motion or into the charter, and then, yeah. But I believe that I would probably vote yes in any case, because this argument about conflict that will arise anyway makes lots of sense to me as to a lawyer. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Tatiana. I think that's an important point. So even with all discussion about GDPR, it's whatever the model we will end up with, it's not going to fix all the issue we have with the hoops. And I think what we raised in that during the council meeting is all the dependency between RDS, GDPR, and this issue with also with local law. So yeah, having that group, I mean the scope of the group is quite limited too. I mean it's will work on to review the public comment. I mean, I don't think they are supposed to rework on any recommendation regarding the trigger that they were proposed before. But having maybe that group will be helpful, really, I think, in the future, maybe to try to work solving other issues that may arise with who is and local data protection law. So I think we will continue the discussion regarding how we will solve this issue of dependency between RDS and the different initiatives. So, no, we are not going to fix that during the council call, but I think it makes sense to delay, as you mentioned, to delay the call for volunteers. I don't think even our side we will have, because different stakeholder group they are supposed to appoint members, so I don't think we have the kind of the volunteers at that time if we start early to work on that. So delaying maybe help us in terms of planning and management. Okay, so any comment or question on this matter? Okay, seeing none, I guess we can move to the next agenda item. So waiting if there is, okay, so yeah, if it's secure, that's good. So the next agenda item, I think it will be really straightforward one. It's to vote for replacement of GNSO member for this Security, Stability, and Resiliency of the NSSR2 review team. So maybe for the context, Jens Gannon, one of our members, resigned a few weeks ago from the review team, and so the council tasked the standing committee, standing selection committee, to recommend a replacement candidate among the initial pool of candidates. So from the beginning of process, what we got, it was only two candidates. So the standing selection committee reviewed their application and also took in consideration, and this is the important, the skill matrix, as it was made by the SSR2 review team, which described what is what is the gap in terms of skills and what they need to fill in the review team, so to have a different expertise there. So the SSC did that review and is suggesting let me see the name, Navid Rao, who is also an NCSG member as a replacement for James for that slot. So so the SSC basically just recommending the name, and the expectation from the council is to confirm that selection and vote for this motion. So unless there is kind of a surprise, it will be anonymous vote, because how the SSC is formed is we have a representative from all stakeholder group, and the selection is by full consensus. So it means that we already get the support from the different stakeholder group in GNSO regarding the candidate. So this is quite a straightforward one. But if you have any question about the process or anything else, please feel free to do so. Okay. I see no comment or question. Okay, we can move to the next agenda. Sorry, who is speaking?
This is Arsene.
Okay, Arsene, you can also use the Adobe Connect for the queue since you are there too, but yeah, please go ahead.
No, my line is not very well. Hi, everyone. This is Arsene Tungali for the record. Rafiq, just maybe to ask you to say who is the one that will be replacing James Gannon? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name. Thank you.
So the replacement is Navid Bin Rais. He is one of our members, I think, from Pakistan. And I think for those the fellowship program, they may know him. So.
Yes, Rafiq, thank you very much. So are we voting yes on that during the council call? Or is there any background that you have about that candidate that we should consider in our deliberation? Maybe this for the members. I personally doesn't know the person, so do you know him personally, or do you have any background to share about him so that we have a clear idea about why we should support him?
Okay, so Arsene, we have three members, representative from NCNG, including myself in that review team, not review team, the standing selection committee, so we participated in the review and the selection. And we used the skill matrix to assess what we have as candidates. So there was only two candidates. And one of the questions was, should we select someone with an academic background or someone more a practitioner? And in terms of diversity and also to add a different skill to the review team. So there was more like most of the members were leaning to choose Navid. And at the end, all the members of the SSC agreed that on that selection. So we have consensus. I'm not sure what kind of issue it may happen or any concern, because if we had any concern that should have risen in during the review, since the members of SSC have all the material, including the resume and the statement of interest from the candidate, and also getting the input from the review team members regarding what they are expecting as skills. So, I mean, the expectation really is that we will vote yes as a council. I mean, if there is no, it will be really awkward situation, because the member of the SSC from NCSG did the due diligence from their side in terms of review, and the idea also, one important point, we are replacing an NCSG member with someone from NCSG. The other candidate was from the business, I mean, he affiliated, we asked endorsement from the business constituency, so.
Thank you very much, Rafiq. That was really useful. Thank you so much.
I hope that I clarified the process and how it worked. I mean, the only thing is that we had only two candidates, and hope that we don't have anyone from GNSO in the review team resigning, because we will be really in trouble in the future. Okay, so the next agenda item is about, it's more an update. And this is an updated charter for the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. So the council had that issue for a while on its agenda, I think last year, and we had a motion in August asking the working group to come with a proposal of a new vehicle to replace the cross-community working group. So maybe as a background, the cross-community working group has kind of particular and specific meaning now in ICANN. It has its specific charging process and also expectation. And there were kind of concerns from some parts in the GNSO if we can have a cross-community working group structure or setup for something like internet governance, because there is some misunderstanding about why we need such group to work on the internet governance. So the working group spent some time to think about a possible replacement. What we did is really to move from the name Cross Community Working Group, because what it kind of embeds as a meaning, and we select new structure, which is the engagement group. I think it's more neutral. It doesn't mean that it has any kind of specific meaning in terms of deliverable outcome. And also what we try to do is to go through the previous revised charter, to go through it again and to try to elaborate and articulate more the mission, to clarify what we are trying to achieve in such a structure.
I've been kicked out of the office.
What?
I went for lunch and then the guys who are in.
Okay, so please, if you are not speaking, mute yourself. Okay, so Okay. what we are trying is also is not just to articulate or outline what is the mission, but also to work on the reporting. But because what it was kind of maybe not clear for everyone is, well, I mean, what it's people maybe perceive there is a lack of accountability or reporting from the working group to the GNSO. But I think it's one problem was its resources. We don't have a real and let's say a full staff support for that working group, and so the reporting is really done in ad hoc basis. And when we get enough support to do so, so we try to push more on that matter, and to have kind of expectation from the working group to report like at least before every ICANN meetings, and maybe to provide more updates and so on. So we try to work about all those details. So now it will be a matter for discussion for the council. So by the motion that was voted in August, so the GNSO council will review the proposal, and the GNSO will withdraw as a chartered organization by Puerto Rico meeting in and then waiting when we have they let's say they approve with other shelting organization the new vehicle. So we will have kind of transition phase that when the GNSO withdrawing from the cross community working group, and then waiting if the GNSO will join the new vehicle. And so then it will be I think different story, maybe having a new membership and so on. But for now, we are putting this new proposal for discussion and consideration by the GNSO Council. So, okay. So, any question or comment on this? I mean, I'm happy to clarify and maybe to explain what may happen. Okay. Okay, so I mean, personally speaking here, I have no idea what are the reactions. So we sent, we submitted the proposal last week, unfortunately after the deadline, but since it's not a motion, that's okay. I hope that the different group will have time to review the proposal, and that we don't have a lot of pushback. I mean, if the council have any kind of suggestion for changing the charter, or I mean, there is any, I mean, or revision, they can do so. Just then it will be a matter to coordinate with other chartering organizations, so they can approve the same final charter for a new vehicle. So I hope that I hope that we can get in kind of a new fresh start for the cross community working group. I think after like now more over 3 or 4 years, it's sometimes time to kind of rejuvenate and to do a kind of new start, or maybe to bring new members and so on. I mean, myself, I think it's time for me to withdraw. So getting the charter, I mean, consider it and hopefully approve it will be my last task there. So, okay. There is no question or comment. I guess I can move to the next agenda item. Okay. Okay, so the next agenda item, I think that I expect it will elicit more comment and question. And it's an update and discussion on the GNSO Standing Committee on Budget and Operation, a review of the draft fiscal year 19 ICANN operating plan and budget. And so, just as quick background, we have another standing committee in Genasso Council to work on budget, and is chaired by Aidan. He's here, and they are they submitted their first draft for the council. It's Genasso Council comment on the FY19 budget. So maybe we can ask here Aidan. Probably he can elaborate more and give more updates regarding that that comment, and maybe also describe the timeline and process to get this approval. Yes, Aidan, please go ahead.
Sure, it would be my pleasure to repeat. Hi, everyone. This is Aidan Fadalin. As Ritik just mentioned, we do have another standing committee, a standing committee on ICANN budget and operations. And the objective of this group is to coordinate and facilitate a dialogue to understand ICANN's strategic and operational planning and budgetary processes, particularly as they relate to the Genasso Council. And on this standing committee, we have strong representation from the NCSG, but also from across the entire Genasso. We have subject matter experts along with appointed counselors here. So the committee's scope of activities are both quite large and quite narrow because we're trying to monitor the entire budget. We're trying to come up with a proposed position that is consistent with the views of the entire council and the entire Genasso. So inevitably there is some tension there as to what a common position would be. And it's proving really difficult actually to draft a comment here. But what we have done over the past 3 weeks is come up with a working draft. We've not received consensus on all of the points, but we have at least a draft comment now that we will put through to the council for an initial review, initial feedback. I don't have the time in front of me, but from memory, we're giving the council at least one full week to be able to review this comment. We will then take it back to the standing committee and we will prepare a new draft, and that will go back to the council again for a more extensive review. And eventually we will ask the council to submit it on our behalf if there is support. So the standing committee has not been delegated the authority to submit this comment on behalf of the council. It will still be, we are only preparing the text that will ultimately be submitted on behalf of the council. So that aside, what are we actually going to be putting inside this comment? So there are a few areas where we have, generally speaking, an agreement that there is any of the actions taken. Generally, we think that the percentage of the budget that ICANN spends on personnel and professional services is too high. Generally, we believe that the support that the, I shouldn't say generally we believe, I should say roughly half of the participants in the standing committee believe, and roughly half do not believe, so we do not have consensus here.
Is it okay now?
Roughly half the participants would agree that the support for capacity building programs, which are funded through items like the additional budgetary request process, are important and should remain. So we still have a lot of tensions resolved here. It's early days. If you ask me in 2 weeks' time where we'll be at, it will be a very different answer that I have to give you. Because at the moment where we have that inevitable tension between the contracted parties and the non-contracted parties' house, we have the contracted parties who believe they pay for everything. And so the question is constantly, is that a core item that should be in the budget, or is that just a nice to have? And we have very different views on the answer to that. And we have different views as well as to whose money is really at play here. I do not think that the contracted parties are paying for this. I believe, I'm speaking for myself here, I believe that it is the domain name registrants who are paying here. And I think that's important because when we're looking to be funding things like registrant educational activities, because I believe very strongly that it is the right to pay, that 25 cents per domain name registration to ICANN, I think that really has to influence the direction the comment takes. Anyway, I'm starting to get a little too granular as to the difficulty having as a standing committee in reaching consensus. But rest assured, we are making progress. We are slowly heading in a direction that I think we'll all be happy with. We do have a degree of common ground, and we're highly involved. The NCC is really leading the discussions here. I'm happy to take any questions. Otherwise, this is definitely something that I'll bring you on the next call that we have, the next policy committee call that we have. This is a really fast-moving area. The standing committee was only initiated roughly, well, we did have meetings last year, but really we have only been working on this issue for the past 4 weeks. The budget was published on the 19th of January. We have 17 days until the public comment process ends, and we have been working diligently and tirelessly the entire time as a standing committee trying to understand what is in this budget, how does it impact the GNSO, all of the constituencies, not just and stakeholder groups, not just ourselves, what is the impact across the SOAC. Across the SOACs, what is the equivalent support that we're receiving relative to others and so forth? Again, getting too granular here, but happy to take any questions if you have any. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Aidan. That's quite detailed briefing. So, yes, I mean, I am just an observer in that standing committee and seeing the discussion there, I mean, it's always kind of complicated to find a consensus on those matters because the different side of the GNSO has different view on the the matter. So I guess maybe what we try to find out is what are the kind of the common ground here. What are the really the issues that we all agree on? And I think we have to ask every time what is the relation of any budget concern and what is the relation of that budget to the policy development process. I think that's what we have to argue on. I mean, it's not easy, it's not always straightforward, but that's, I think, our approach. And, let's see how things will go. So I think we got only the first draft, so it's expected that we get some maybe strong comment, but we will work out, I guess, the details and we will find an acceptable language for everyone. With regard to NCAG comment, we will cover that later on. So here, just about the council comment. So it's probably different perspective and focus. And so that's why it may there is some overlap, but also maybe some difference in term of the comment between the council and the NCAG one. Okay. So any question or comment on this? Maybe last point before moving. I think we are improving in some way because the council didn't really cover that closely the budget before. What happened is just we made comment quickly at the last minute, but this time I think we are putting more effort, and this is I think makes sense with the new context, the post-INA transition and the empowered community. So that changing on responsibility and the role for the GENASO and the council itself in terms of covering the budget. And it's, I think it's also the same case for us. I think it's, yeah, I do believe this is the first time for NCAG also to cover the ICANN budget. Yes, Aidan, you want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of expand upon what you're saying there, because I agree. And I was trying to, in the chat, keep sort of ended on a positive note that we will reach consensus. We will get there. Because at a high level, we have agreement. So as an example, where we have an agreement across the entire GNSO, we agree that the fund is depleted, and we believe that ICANN has to replenish the reserve fund. That's where we have agreement. Where we don't have agreement is, how do you replenish the fund? Where does money come from to do this? If you ask some, well, you can simply cut any capacity building program, anything to do with bringing diversity or new voices in. That is, you know, that is prime picking to fund the reserve fund. Whereas we might have a different perspective on that, and we might say that, well, perhaps we need to be making sure cuts are taken across the organization, and maybe we could even help identify some areas. And indeed, we did yesterday in our call when we were asked by Marika from staff, if we were to save this, where would we find the money? And she was saying it as a rather provocative question, but where would we find the money to support it? And we have ideas. I don't really want to get into them now, other than to say that we'll get there. There is probably not going to be any recommendations in the letter that the council puts forward to the standing the standing committee puts forward to the council. We'll have to keep them rather high level, which is a pity, because at the stakeholder group constituency level, I'm sure many of us do have ideas. I would have to put them into our comments. But at a high level, we can get that sort of broad agreement that we can flag a problem, we're just not going to be putting a solution to the comment, if that makes sense. And agreeing with you in the chat, Rafiq, the money comes from the registrants, whatever, regardless of what the contracted parties believe. They are their customers. It is ultimately the registrant who is paying for this domain name.
Thanks, Aidan. I mean, without the registrant, the whole ecosystem won't exist. I mean, that's quite clear. Okay, I guess we can move to the next agenda item. I'm sorry, Aidan, that's an old hand? Or? Okay. So, if you have any comments or questions, do so. I mean, it's supposed to be more interactive session. Okay, so the next agenda item is also, again, a discussion item, and this is about the draft post-implementation review framework. So we do discuss a lot of time about policy development process, and this is like the focus of the GNSO and also of NCAG. We work, and we join working groups to participate in that process. With the expected outcome to have a recommendation on a policy recommendation that would be voted and approved as a consensus policy to be implemented by the contracted party. But the implementation itself is not really handled by the community. It's done by now by the GDD, it means ICANN staff, with the involvement of the community, of course, in what we call the implementation review team. So it's a different setup from the usual working group. What we have the whole process describing the policy making and then the implementation, but we also added in that framework a review of the consensus policy. So we implement a policy, and then at some time we need to review if it was effective, it really worked, we did achieve what is expected, and so on. But what we find out is we don't have really a lot of specifics or details about that review process. And it's supposed that for several consensus policy, it's supposed to start, I think, this year. I'm not sure which quarter, but it's supposed to start. And so we are kind of getting question here from the staff in term we need to discuss and maybe elaborate more in term of the review. There are several questions. Is when, how to trigger that review in first place, who will trigger it, and so on. So we have several questions to respond. And so we are starting here that dialogue. It was supposed to be covered during the strategical council meeting last month, but we didn't have time for that. So this is kind of follow-up. And we get some proposal and question from the staff, and so we will work on, because we have to think about the whole process. It's not just you make recommendation. They also like work in implementation. That's it. We have to think about the whole life cycle of the policy, and so we get to go on that part. That is what I mean. It's something new, to be honest. I mean, we didn't review really previous consensus policy, and we are just starting. So, for example, even in terms of working group, like it's what it's done at the rights protection mechanism. They are reviewing many consensus policy that were like decided like over 10 or even 20 years ago. So it's kind of changed. We need to do a review of existing policy and to assess their effectiveness and are they really achieving what they were supposed to do. So this is kind of dialogue. I think you can access to the link for the consensus policy implementation framework. So you can find the document that made by GDD describing the process regarding the implementation and so on. So yeah, so we will have a more presentation and hopefully we can follow up with the members later on this. So okay, any question or inquiry on this issue? Any comment? Okay, and one reminder, everyone. So when we, if you can see in the agenda, you always find kind of a brief background. It's really useful because it explains, it set up the context of why we are discussing that item or the motion, and give all the links and details. So please feel free to check it and go through the material. And also you can find the question under this. For example, under item 8, you will find some of the question we are supposed to discuss. So okay, I know that's quite dense, but it's a way to understand what's going on in the council, since it's the body to manage the policy. So we are at that level, so we are managing the process mostly. It's not really, we don't discuss policy per se, but we discuss the process that lead to policy. We are managing it. The policy itself is done within the working group, that the model chosen by indigenous, so in the last restructuring. So, okay. The next agenda item is quite basically administrative. It's an update about the planning for ICANN 61. I think the schedule for the meeting was published today, so you can access to the full schedule for the ICANN meeting. And also from the Geneso side, we have our own schedule within that, with all the sessions. So we allocated several slots for working groups. So several, many of them, they will have like even like 3 or 4.5 hours of meetings on Saturday, even I think on Sunday and Wednesday. So there are a lot, enough time for working groups to focus on their deliberation. And also, as usual, we will have the Geneso weekend. It's basically Sunday, and also our council meeting in Wednesday. For the Sunday meeting, I cannot share details yet, but it will be shared during the council call. What I can say, there is some changes in the format. So we are still working on that, and I think it will be interesting in many fronts, because it will be much more, I think, productive in terms of discussion and outcome. It won't be just usual working group updates on Sunday what we have, that the different working groups come and try to give us like a presentation of what they did since the last meeting. But this time there is a change in the format, and so more details in Thursday, hopefully, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so yeah. So we will get more details regarding the Puerto Rico meeting. It's basically less than three weeks. We are quite close, and it's time to prepare. Regarding the NCAG and CCN poll schedule, I don't have the details. I think Mariam maybe can share that. So we can find what we are scheduling for Puerto Rico. And again, you can join, either you are there, you can join physically, or you can join remotely, and more information will be shared later. Okay, any question or comment on this?
Hi, Rafik Hanaka, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to briefly update on NCC sessions. We will have some working group briefing on our constituency day. Our outreach day is the same day as PPP. So mostly our working group briefings will be on constituency day, which is the 13th of March, and many PCNCSG members will be giving these briefings. And the idea is to recruit newcomers to come to working groups. So I would specifically ask for hooks or cliffhangers or issues that are going on in these working groups that could possibly be a way for newcomers to find them identifiable and come and join. Thank you. That would be just it.
Thanks, Renata. I expect more details to be shared in the mailing list when we are close to the meeting. there are so many to go between the GNSO. I really encourage for everyone who is in the ICANN meeting to attend GNSO-related session and party GNSO council meetings, and also PDP working group if you have time, and also the NCAG and CNN POC session. So all details will be shared soon. Okay, the next agenda item is regarding, it's also purely administrative. It's the assignment of council liaison. So maybe as background, the council has liaison to all the working group that it creates. And the liaison has a specific role in terms of reporting and to kind of, I'm not going to say to monitor, but to really to follow what's going on the different working group and to inform the council, since we are responsible in terms of managing those processes and the working groups. And the role of liaison is really different from the co-chair. So that's why one of the reasons we cannot have the co-chairs to be liaison, the liaison to be a co-chair at the same time. And also we have the GNSO liaison to the GAC, but that's, he is appointed by different process, because we had kind of, I'm not going to say negotiation, but discussion for a while with the GAT in about what is the expectation or how we can get them engaged more in the policy development process. And so one of the idea to have the GNSO liaison to inform and update them. And we also have the liaison to the CCNSO. But basically, for this agenda item, we will, since that's kind of the usual in every year, we have either to appoint or confirm the liaison to all the PDP working group in particular that were created by the council. And one information that's important, the liaison has to be a councillor, since it's a liaison from the council. It cannot be any other member of the working group. So it will be a kind of volunteering from the council, among the councillor to be the liaison of this working group. So I'm here trying to give more an explanation, even if it's kind of administrative task. Yeah. So, any question or comment on this? Okay. So, the last agenda item is there any other business? And it's about discussion of GNSO Council Strategic Planning Session Report. As you may know, the council had a strategic meeting at the end of January. It was a 3 days meeting. It was the first time we have such meeting. It was kind of really to have really to do really planning ahead for the whole year. And also it was an opportunity to understand responsibility and the role of the GNSO Council. And since we have new members in the council, so to have that common understanding, what are the expectations, what we are supposed to do, and also to understand, like, what is the role of the GNSO Council as a policy manager for GTLD. And so we had kind of really frank discussion, and I think it's the first time, maybe not the first time, but let's say the kind of first time to have more systematic way to do the planning with regard to the activities and managing the processes for this year. And it was an opportunity, for example, to see a planning document and see how many activities we have in parallel, and so we can have more understanding how much burden and workload we are putting on ourselves and on the community and the staff to cover so many area. And so it's a question for us how to manage that. But coming back to that agenda item, so we will discuss the report of that meeting. We have now a draft, but we are still, now we are getting the input from the councillor, just if they have any suggestion for change or edit. And after that, the report will be available for the community. So for now, it's just in draft and still under review, but it will be shared soon in the coming days. So, okay, any question here? Or any comment? Okay, don't have that many comments today. Okay, maybe it's the starting of the week. But anyway, so let's move on to our main agenda and to discuss mostly about policy, but this more from the NCAG perspective. So, Marian, please move on to the, I'd say, share the meeting agenda. Okay, so as usual, we try to get like a policy update, one thing, we start to see what we have, let's say, what we have as ingoing comment or what we have as public consultation or comment that we need to cover in the coming weeks. So if you go to the link, we have several public comments open. We are not covering all of them, in particular those related to route zone label generation rules. We tend to not cover them because they are kind of really, let's say, more technical, and they are quite narrow. So, but if anyone in particular having technical background or interest on this matter, he can cover them. So one like is related to rules for Korean. So I think it's really for someone, a Korean native speaker, maybe who he or she want to cover that. So that the related to the LGR. But we have really three main comments we are covering. One, it's already under discussion. It's the one on the budget, and we got the first draft by Aiden. I think it was shared in the mailing list, if I'm not mistaken, and so people can comment, and we will work on responding to the comment and solving any issue. The second one is to plan to restart the root key signing key rollover process. I shared the call for volunteers a few days ago, and I think we got some people volunteering. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I think Louise volunteered to do so. So we are expecting, hopefully, a draft comment soon. See, also, you know, you are interested to work on that, so please. I can follow up later and try. So let's see how we can coordinate our efforts and cover this comment. So the next one is the draft proceed community GTLD change request. And I think that Ponsole took the lead, and he already worked on some initial drafts, so we are still working on that, but we got something to start with. I encourage everyone, if you have any interest to join this effort, you can ping me off list, and I will put you in touch with other members who volunteered. So we have those three main public comments, and I hope that we will remain for a while, because it can be challenging to cover more than three public comments in the same time. Okay. So, any question or comment on this? I mean, it's a good opportunity to join the effort. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, so I see several discussion in Adobe Connect, and we can follow up on this later on if you want, and if you want to volunteer, just tell me. Okay, so moving to the next agenda item, it's more to get updates from any review team, working groups, or any structure. So it really depends if you are active in any working group and if you want to share any updates or you want to raise any concern that we have to follow up. So, or also if there is any working group that is going to deliver its initial report soon, so we should plan for that. So please, if you have any comment or briefing or update you want to share, please do so. Okay, yes, Aiden, we'll talk about the budget quite soon, just after this. So this is opportunity to give update about policy for those who are active in working groups. So I cannot myself really give updates on that. I only have what I see, like comes as updates to the council. And because my role now as a vice chair, I focus more on the process and any issue that arises in terms of timeline and so on, but and not following closely in terms of substance. So, okay, yes, Aidan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. I thought this while it came to mind, I could give a quick update on the RDS working group. It won't take too much of your time, but just to let you know what this working group has been discussing lately. We've been discussing purposes for processing data, and one of the questions has been around whether domain name certification is a legitimate purpose for processing registration data based upon a few different definitions that have been put forward. And the position that we in the MCSG have been advancing is that we oppose this in general. And the idea here is that ICANN is not a domain name certification authority, so ICANN should not be requiring or facilitating the collection of data for this purpose. And this is quite important for us to push back against, because there is definitely movement in some parts of the community to rethink what is ICANN's mission, what should ICANN be doing. And this might be a very small area where if we lost this battle, it would not have any significant, if we're honest here, it would not have any significant implications for most registrants. However, it's the principle, right, that if we allow terms to be hijacked and redefined, that can be really problematic down the line, especially in areas that FASNA follows quite closely to do with content control and whether ICANN should be becoming, as I think some of our colleagues in upper parts of the community would like ICANN to be taking a stronger role in removing, say, domain names that supposedly facilitate the transfer of content that they claim is stolen or masquerading as a fake online pharmacy, etc. So that's what we're at in the RDS at the moment. And I share this for one of the reasons that you can join us and you can really make a difference. So in this working group, a great deal of importance is placed on the weekly polls. And the weekly polls are open for all members to complete. They're generally multiple choice. And we do have a small group of members who will sometimes discuss how we will be responding to these polls. And we'd be happy to see you in there if you like. Now, they're not a binding referendum. We are always told that that just because a certain answer receives the majority of responses does not mean that that is the result that will be advanced. But in practice, that is what happens. And so if we could get more NCSG members participating in the polls every week, it would be great, because in this week's poll, for instance, well, the poll that we did last week, but the results were published yesterday, we had in total respondents, of which 4 were from the NCSG, and 17 were IP attorneys. So there's a bit of and they voted the block, I should note. They all, 17 all saying the one thing. So it would be really great if we could try to increase the number of NCSG members that we have responded to these polls, because it would make an impact, you would be really making a difference, and it would only be taking a few minutes of time every week to do. Please feel free to contact me if you'd like to talk further about this. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Aidan, for this update from RDS. I mean, it's a quite interesting working group. And yes, I mean, understand that that working group quite use the polling quite heavily, which is also unusual any other working group. It's not a common approach, and sometimes it can raise concerns in terms of how you interpret that, because some people say that, but I'm here digressing. But yes, so if they are using that method, I think it's important to get everyone who is already probably invited. I think many are already in the RDS mailing list, and so they just need to be kind of active. And there is a way that you and others like Stephanie and Kathy can coordinate those efforts and how we can influence the outcome of that working group. Yeah. So, okay. Any update from other working group? So, my understanding for the subsequent procedure, the new GTID subsequent procedure, they are working on their, they are preparing for the initial report. And my understanding, they have a document with their deliberation team now from the different work track 1 to 4. So the work track 5 is not included since they just started. And my understanding, they agreed on their term of reference and start the proper working. And they had, I think, a webinar maybe to give a kind of history about this this policy issue and so on. So it's separate. The work track 5, it's about GeoNames. But that's my impression. I'm not involved in that working group, but if someone who is actively participating there, he or she can give some update, it will be really helpful. I'm not trying to put someone in the, on the spot, but it's better if you volunteer. Okay. Okay, so no comment here. For RPM, I don't know. Is there, I see that Bruna is in the queue. Yes, Bruna, please go ahead. Okay, Bruna, I mean, you raised your hand, but you, okay, I mean, yes. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Bruna. I was just having problems with my mic. I just wrote on the chat also that apart from the like all the reversal starts finishing the reports from the new the work track 5 is the review of existing defined geographic terms, and there's a call tomorrow. So this preparation effort. And it also, like, with the co-leaders was just replaced. I guess the ALAC co-leader is now Javier from Puerto Rico as well. So this is all. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Bruna. Yeah, please keep us updated about the particular GeoNames. I know that they are just starting the main work, and there are several webinars and so on. So for those interested, it's still time to join. I think it's a good time to join. Okay, so, yeah. Any question or comment on this? Okay, no one, and I think that's an old hand, Bruna, unless you wanted to add something. Okay, so regarding RPM, I don't see, unfortunately, someone who is active in RPM working group and in the call today. But so what I understand, the RPM they initiated process to collect data from ICANN, but also to design a survey. And there is a call for a request for a proposal now. So that's what they started. And I think one other important item, it's more like in terms of planning, is that the RPM and the new GTLD subsequent procedure working group, they have to coordinate their timeline because there are dependency between the two working groups. But in terms of substance, I cannot really speak further than that. Unfortunately, there is no one from the RPM working group today. But hopefully, if we can get more update, we will share that in the mailing list. Okay. I see Luis. Yes, Luis, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, I was just connecting my mic, but I am involved in the RPMs working group. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to follow up as closely as I wish, but in the past meetings, what we have been discussing a bit more is, well, and was something that was raised also during intersessional, the need to establish a more strict methodology of how are we gathering data. Since one of the main issues we have been facing is a quite intense divergence from members of the working group when we start talking about which kind of data we need to go after. They just completely go out of the purpose and start talking about how preposterous it is to gather data. So it's kind of a stalemate, but still, in terms of progress in a structured way, we are just now, there is a call for sub-teams. Right now I don't have the whole list, but there are different teams to gather this data, so we're tackling different aspects, and it closes today, these calls. So if you're a non-active, an observer in the RPMs working group, and you feel you might want to pop in and see how the discussions are going, they're a bit intense. But still, I would very much encourage you to do so, because we do need more volunteers in the RPM. So if you have any questions, if I can help in any way, just feel free to reach out. I know Dina is also have been following these past few calls. So yeah, this is perhaps a quick update on the status of what I have been doing at the RPMs. Thanks.
So thanks, Luis, for this briefing. Having working team or subgroups, it's always challenging because it means that we need more volunteers to join each working team or subgroups to monitor what's going on, because there is kind of more delegation to the work team and not really to have the full discussion in the working group. So, yes, if someone wants to join, please do so. And please, Luis, share any information and how to join, and if there is any channel for discussion or coordination. Oh, okay. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, I opened the call here. So we have a sub-team for, so now we're reviewing the Uniform Rapid Suspension and URS. And there are three sub-teams, and there's a sub-team for URS practitioners, URS docs, and URS providers. If you want more information, just let me know and I'll pass it to you. And right now we have a lot of people. We have more people in URS documents, so it's to review the documentation of some of the cases and the decisions. But we have less people in the URS providers and practitioners. So Yes, let me know if you're interested, and we can discuss this offline. Yeah, I just wanted to add that.
Okay, thanks, Luis. So, yeah. And also, I just shared the project list. I think it's maybe it's kind of an underestimated document, but it's, I think, the reference document where you can find all information about any activities initiated by, so whatever is a PDP or non-PDP working group, implementation review team, cross-community working group, and so on. Because there you can find the links to the specific space for that working group, and so you can find the information and then how to join the working group. But I expect the members of the working group, the RPM working group, to share more details and to support those who want to volunteer there. Thanks again, Luis, for the update, and thanks, Dina, for all details you are giving and the Adobe Connect chat. Okay. I think we covered the three main working groups. For review team, at this level, I don't think there is really anything to share because the current situation with SSR2, so they are not really they are not making progress. I think even for the case of RDS review team, so we can move now from that, but. If there is anything we can share in the mailing list. So let's move to the, any other business. And in fact, we have several items there to cover, so it's more than any other business. yes, Marian, please share the agenda again. Okay, so under that any other business, we have the different like kind of important discussion items. The first one I put is the GDPR compliance model. So there was that I cannot call that really a consultation or public comment, but we submitted comment as quickly as we can. But the discussion is still going on regarding which model to be selected by ICANN. And there was a webinar, I think, 2 weeks ago to review what was received by the ICANN as a comment. And they tried to do what they call non-paper to summarize the comments and to show or highlight what they think is the model supported by most by the community. So it's still under discussion, and I think we still have a lot to do on the matter to influence the process. So if someone wants to comment or share some thought on this issue, please, yeah, this is a good time to do so. Yes, Tatiana, please go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone. Tatiana Trupina speaking. Well, I feel a bit compelled as someone who chaired the session on the GDPR compliance of the intersessional to provide this brief update. I believe that if we took at the ICANN model, you know, graph or diagram or whatever, it's not really a true representation of the understanding of all these proposed models and alternative models which were proposed by the part of the community. I believe that what we know for now is that any model chosen by the ICANN will have some kind of tiered access. But how this will work and according to different rumors, there might be preferences to, I don't know, GAC models or whatever, and all we know right now is just rumors, and we do have to wait for ICANN. What really worries me now is that the date which was announced for choosing the models is postponed further and further and further, which means that whatever model ICANN chooses, we will not have much time to react as a community. But then again, okay, it's about mobilization. So all we can do right now is just to wait for ICANN to do it in a kind of top-down manner, and then we will have to marry it with what community thinks and the RDS working groups. Thanks.
Thanks, Tatiana. Yeah, I mean, I think how the discussion is framed by the ICANN court organization and court, and in particular the CEO and the staff, it's a matter for the organization to vet and to decide. So they say they are seeking for input. I mean, whatever it's chosen should be kind of an interim model, because there is still work, a lot of work to be done on this matter, and we are discovering that we have to work on this. And this is again related to all this effort and RDS review team, RDS working group, and so on, and how to fix this issue once for all. Okay, anyone want to add a further comment on this? Oh, I think Stephanie just joined us. So she was here from the beginning and didn't notice. Stephanie, you want to add something? Yeah, and also I see a comment from Aiden about work on Article 29 working party letter. Okay, yes, this is one thing that we have to cover too. But you want to comment or to add something? Stephanie, Aiden, Stephanie, whoever want to... okay, so if there is an audio issue, maybe Mariam can help for that. But meantime, Aiden, you want to add something or...?
Stephanie, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Stephanie. Please go ahead.
Came back. Thank you. I'm sorry I was late. I mixed up the time, and I won't talk much because I'm still coughing. But I apologize for being late on the Article 29 letter. I've just been pouring over everything that we need to put into it and get it done today. So that's all I have to contribute there.
Thanks, Stephanie. Sorry, can you repeat the last sentence? I had problem to hear from my side. So,
Stephanie Perrin again. I've been compiling what we need in the Article 29 letter. And I'll fix the Google Doc today and get it done.
Okay.
And I apologize for my voice. If that's what you want to comment on, is there anything else?
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, I couldn't hear that. So, yeah. Thanks. No, that's wonderful. So you are working on this. So we wait for the document. I'm sorry. For some reason, I didn't... listen in the beginning for sort of some issue here. But now, yes, I did. Thanks again. Okay, so we got some action for related to GDPR. So let's see how we will respond to the Article 29 Working Party. And we will wait for the draft, hopefully to be shared as soon as possible. But I think, Steve, we have to do a lot of work, and I expect there will be a lot of discussion in Puerto Rico meeting. And if I'm not mistaken, there is even a cross-community session on the matter, but I need to check again. So for those who have the schedule, maybe they can find out. Okay. No further comment on this or question? Okay, so let's move to the budget comment. And this is more the NCSG own comment on the budget, so it may differ from the council one. Okay, Aidan, since you were the pen holder for that draft, maybe you can give a briefing and explanation about the content. So please go ahead.
It would be my pleasure. Thanks, Rafiq. Hi, everyone. Aidan Sajlin for the record. And yes, been waiting patiently to explain this one to you because there are significant implications for us in this budget. So, as you might know, one of the most important public comment opportunities that we have every year is our chance to comment on ICANN's budget and operations. This is our only chance, community, to ask the different spending priorities to be made, to question aspects of ICANN's operations, and to express our views on the functioning of ICANN, the organization. And we look through the materials that ICANN has published. The implications for us are atrocious. Now, we do need to give finance credit for giving us so much granularity this year. There is a lot more information than was published last year, hundreds and hundreds of pages more detail. And it was also published 5 weeks earlier than last year. So we've been given more time to review it. We've been given more information, which we asked for. So credit to finance for that. That is appreciated. And the finance team has been very responsive to questions. When I've asked questions, I've received responses the same day. So cannot fault them there. But the contents of the budget are not great for us. Now, one through the material, we, of course, need to look at our own activities and what resources we're getting and appropriate, are they sufficient, are they insufficient? But we also have to be bit more critical, and we need to look across the entire organization to see what the patterns of spending are, where are resources going. And in the comment that I sent to the list to do, there are a few key points that I've raised. One is to do with personnel costs and professional services. This is just too large a proportion of the budget. Sort of the comment now to get a gist for it. I'm going to update this comment as well today, and I will resend it to the mailing list because there have been a few new developments. So we don't have in the budget is it doesn't easily tell us what has gone, what has changed, or what is new. What it tells us is simply what will be funded in FY19. So in addition to the materials that have recently been published, we need to compare it with the projects that we're running in FY18. And we need to do that sort of cross-reference ourselves to see if we can find anything that is different. When I did that, that was when I discovered that CRUP was not in the budget. But I've also discovered that the community program is not in the budget, among other resources that we rely on. Now, this is not to say that we cannot support them being the right size, that we cannot support if there are we still need to be critical, and perhaps we won't support the continuation of a certain program. But at the same time, the only cuts that are coming in this budget are coming at the community. We also have the additional budgetary request envelope that has been halved. That is what we use to fund our policy writing course, for instance. This isn't right. This is not appropriate. Been two really interesting conversations that have happened on the NCSG policy committee list recently. One of them was from Stephanie, and Stephanie was sort of putting out a provocative question, which I think was a very good provocative question, which was saying, no, if the organization is proposing to cut CRUP funding, how do they propose members of the complexity of ICANN policy issues and ensure that our and continue to contribute effectively to the multi-stakeholder model on which ICANN depends and on which gives ICANN its legitimacy. And Stephanie was suggesting that we could put a question from backwards and forth discussion over whether or not that's appropriate. But regardless of what forum we take that critique to, it is about, I think it's something that we need to touch upon in our comment. And so that will be one of the new edits that I make to the comment is adding, from where does ICANN draw its legitimacy? And how do all of these cuts to the services that we depend on harm non-commercial users and uses of the domain name system? Now, if we look at how ICANN has grown significantly, its initial budget in 1999 was $3.4 million. Last year, the budget was $143 million. But what has been climbing steadily has really just been personnel costs, office space, and professional services like outside consultants and attorneys. And where is this perception? And I appreciate that for ICANN staff, this would sound really like a very overly simplistic statement. But there is a perception that I have, and I think that others have, that a lot of things that ICANN made long before the issues are packaged up and presented to the community for consideration. And a really good example of this is this fellowship consultation that's added. So in the budget that was published on the 19th of January, it proposed a 50% cut to the fellowship program. On the 31st of January, ICANN opened up a community consultation to determine the future of the fellowship. There's an obvious disconnect here, clearly, and perhaps this is the right decision to be made. But clearly the organization decided well before it decided what we think, they decided that this is going to be cut in half. So when the organization continues to be growing in diet staff and consultants, that really concerns me. This year, the budget is growing by 10% in personnel costs. This can't continue to happen. This is not to say that staff don't work hard. They do work hard, and I fully acknowledge that. That's not the issue. The concern is that ICANN staff are increasingly holding the pen when it comes to drafting recommendations, when it comes to creating working group proposals and reports, and importantly, the implementation details behind community decisions. It is staff who get to determine whether or not to seek external working groups. It is staff who know and set the internal timelines that the organization has budgeted for a working group to complete its work. And with the removal of HOP, now it will only be GSC, ICANN staff, and not community members who have the resources to be able to attend regional events and to be the voice of ICANN. Again, not a criticism of the very good work that ICANN staff and consultants do. They work very hard, but it is a flaw in my mind against governance structure and the policy development and implementation process. And so what I see when I look at this budget are attempts to stifle non-commercial participation in ICANN activities. Now, I'm not alleging that this is intentional. I just think it is the inevitable consequence of the proposed budget that is being adopted as it is. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about no crop, nearly no money for additional budget requests that we depend on, less travel support for community, reduced number of fellowships, no community onboarding program, which will see us lose 4 NCSG travel slots there. These are drastic cuts, but why are they only coming to the very small sliver of the budget that is allocated to us in the first place? How, in good conscience, can this organization put forward a budget that sees personnel costs increase by 10% when it's broke? That's not going to change. These are huge structural issues. I'm happy to acknowledge that that cuts have to be the board. They do. But why are they only affecting us? And I'm going to bring in a sort of a conspiracy theory that I heard, but with the caveat that I confirmed it with a few people, so I think it's true. One of the theories behind this is that divisions with ICANN were given, were told that they had to make cuts. They had to identify what projects were not critical given ICANN's precarious financial state. It seems, at least in the case of GSE, that they looked internally, looked at what could be cut, and decided to protect their staff and to cut the community support. That's really problematic, in my opinion. Anyway, I'm speaking a little too much. This is a really important issue for us. We really need people to be reviewing this budget critically. There is a lot of information. There's when I initially sent the documents to the mailing list, there were 255 pages of material. There's now more. There are also Excel spreadsheets with tens of thousands of rows outlining the projects. We need to be going through this very quickly and very diligently to understand what is in there, what is going to hurt us. I'm sure there are things critical that have escaped me, so I'd really appreciate your assistance in reviewing the budget as comprehensively as we can. I'm going to make, as I said before, some substantial edits to the document today. There are some things that, between when I made this initial draft and sent to the list, and now that I've noticed that I think you may. And there's also one thing that I'm going to remove because I come to believe that maybe it's no longer relevant. So if you have any questions regarding the budget process, how to get involved, the comment I've drawn.
Okay, thanks, Aidan. That was quite detailed. Okay, so a few comments from me here. First, I encourage everyone, to go through the document and the material. There are several material related to the budget, like the spreadsheet and so on. So there are several material to cover and to go through. Yeah. So having more people to do so will help us to find out if there is anything that we missed or we didn't notice. There are so many high level of details in the document, so we need to be sure that we are covering, and so that will help you in reviewing the NCAG draft comment, so you can really make an opinion about that by reviewing the material first. With the whole discussion now about the cuts, it seems that the community is getting most of the cuts because, it's a fact. All the division they got targeted in terms of how they need to cut, and so sometimes it impacting us directly, but I think we. Okay, so there is another issue is that not all division are impacting. Sorry, Mariam, can you hear me? I mean, I'm not sure. I am hearing Aidan many times. So, can you hear me, guys? Yes, we can. Okay. So, I heard Aidan several times saying the same thing. That's kind of it's funny. So, Okay. So, not all divisions are impacted in the same time. And I do believe for the policy division, and in particular the GNSO, they are making a lot of efforts to keep the same level of support. And so we need to be careful to not see it. Not all the division are, the staff that we work directly with are doing a lot of efforts to not impacting, to not cutting in anything related to our work. That was said. So we need to have a holistic view of the budget and not just to focusing on term of what we see as community support. We need to also.
Renato,
yes.
Can I? Sorry, I am on the road. I'm just gonna
yes
quickly give an update.
on the onboarding, on intervention. Again, there is a disconnection between onboarding program demands that we had from the beginning of the year, which related to sustainability and long-term planning of the program. We did a full selection process. Dina was appointed, and now this news that the program is out of the budget. It just seems that there is no communication going on between departments in ICANN. So on that effort of reading the documents critically, I would like to note that internal processes of our calls and our preparation for those programs is also being completely disregarded. So that should be noted in our observation of budget. Thank you.
Thanks, Renata. So I was caught in my intervention. So to respond about the onboarding, the response we got, I think, is that it was, I think the program was limited in time, so it's not an ongoing program. But if people feel that we need to add a comment on that, I think that's fine. I think it's a matter really of communication, because things seems disappearing and not highlighted. So we don't know when if something is removed from the budget. And that's why I really ask that we have to read carefully the material and check if there is anything missing. So to not be surprised later on, because it will be really late. So this is the time to do so. I think I missed my train of thought, but anyway. So I see, Aiden, you want to be adding the queue? Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rafiq. Hopefully you can hear me. Adobe Connect is a little strange for me at the moment. I'm going to pretend you can.
Aiden, can you speak?
Yeah, me.
Okay, I'm not sure. It seems we have Aiden has some audio issues, so I didn't hear him. So, Mariam, can you please fix the try to work out on the audio issue for Aiden? I don't think it just, seems everyone couldn't hear Aiden speaking, so. Okay. In the meantime, is there any other comment or question on this?
Okay. So to Renata's point about initial, its initial goal was that it was going to wrap up after 12 months. Actually, it was going to wrap up after travel resources attached. But I think internally we got to the stage where it kept being extended, and so we became dependent on it. And we started seeing it as a resource that we were able to use to be able to
Thanks, Aiden. Sorry, it seems that You were cut several times, so if you want maybe to respond in the Adobe Connect chat, that will be really helpful. I'm sorry for this technical glitch, but yeah, it happens sometimes. Okay, is there any question or comment on this? So we have now the draft, and it's a good time to add comments or edits or suggestions, and we will try to resolve them. And with those that have a consensus within NCNG. Okay. Yes, Stephanie, please go ahead.
Thanks very much. I was on the budget call on Monday, and I made the point that a lot of the cuts were made without any attention to goals and metrics. Now, I understand that sometimes I'm talking using language that a lot of people are not familiar with, because I have had a bit of pushback on what I'm saying about some of our about some of the programs that are being cut. I am demanding metrics because that is the world that this organization is now operating in, even though their metrics are terrible. We do not have our own metrics that measures the success of our outreach and volunteer program. So it's up to us to generate those metrics. And Marisa, I don't know who's got their mic.
Stephanie, sorry to interrupt you. We have, I'd say, your voice is fading, and I mean, it's quite unstable. Can you speak close to the mic? Because I think most of us have to hear you. Yeah, slightly better, yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying is the onus on us is to generate our own metrics and justify the resources that are spent. I typed a big long note in the chat, following up on Dina's comments about ALAC. I mean, it is my view, and it may be a very cynical one, but I've been on now 5 years, and I have watched ICANN somewhat intermittently before that. I think it serves ICANN, the organization's purposes, to have a bunch of people who actually do not have in-depth knowledge representing the end user. We have had lots of people over in NCUC and NCSG over the past couple of decades who have tons of in-depth knowledge. I mean, two of the people that left council when I came on were Maria Farrell, who used to be staff and knew where the bodies were buried, and Wendy Seltzer, who bloody well started Chilling Effects and who really is an expert, you know. So it's a daunting task. Those are big shoes to fill in terms of what we bring here. We need to make sure that the people we bring into ICANN that are contributing are also, you know, at the level where they can fight off guys like Steve McCallitz, who's been here for 20 bloody years, longer than that, because he was here when ICANN was thought about. You know, this is the challenge that we're up against. So how do we recruit people and train them and mentor them to get them to that level? If we have those metrics in place in terms of the fellowship program, in other words, how many people after 6 meetings are actively contributing to PDP working groups and helping us write comments. Those are the metrics we need. And then we can say, look, you can't cut us. Because otherwise, ICANN's metrics, as Aidan pointed out, and this is why they're so angry with him, ICANN's metrics are fill the seats. And if it's a brand new person who doesn't actually understand, and when I say fill the seats, I mean fill the fellowship and Next Gen and all of those programs. If the person doesn't actually understand what ICANN does, that doesn't matter to them, you know? So, I mean, we can complain about the cuts all we like. But, I mean, I've worked in government where cuts are, you know, annual budget exercise is an exercise in fighting off cuts, keeping your staff, keeping your travel budgets. And trust me, misusing our travel budgets, blowing money, bringing people time after time that nobody has ever spotted contributing meaningfully to the discussion, we are a huge, big, fat target. And that's the world we're operating in. So I certainly want the fellowship to continue, the fellowship program. And I think people think I'm crapping on the fellowship program. No! Let's get some metrics that's proving it's working. And if it isn't working, if we've got people who aren't showing up at the meetings, who are going on tourism, because AIOC literally had a problem a few years ago, and I think it still continues, where people would show up at the meeting, come for the parties, and do tourism the rest of the time. And I don't mean to pick on AIOC, because I suspect that we've got some folks that have been doing the same thing. So this is the cancer that is eating away at the at any of these outreach programs. And some of our best people have come from fellowship programs. So we need to champion those as our example. And, you know, all we've got is examples in LACA because we have no metrics, systematic metrics. Okay, I think I've ranted enough. But I sense that some people are saying I'm just being an old fart and an old meanie because I didn't go through the fellowship program. No, I'm a veteran of 35 years of budget cut exercises, and some people aren't. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. I mean, point taken here. Yeah, I think we need I think I used this today in other discussion. We need data, not anecdotes. And if we want to argue and to make a good argument here. And I mean, it's not just about fellowship, but any other program. I think there is a need of reform if really we want to keep them. We cannot keep them as it is now. So there is a need to restructure, to make changes if people want to make them sustainable. Otherwise, maybe you can save them this year, but there is no guarantee that will be done in a few years. So, and it's, yeah, I think we can develop metrics, and it's always an issue how we can bring more people and to have the knowledge and the expertise to get involved, because there is a lot of expectation to when participating in this environment. So, yeah, it's a lot of challenge. So thanks, Stephanie, for those points. Okay, I'm not sure, Stephanie, if it's an old hand or you wanted to add another comment. Okay, it's an old hand. Okay, so we have this. I think it will be a matter for discussion for a while, but for now, for the budget, we have to really to think. So it's not just about the cuts, it's not just about specific support here and there, but we need to have a holistic view about this issue and to think how we can make things sustainable. Another point, that's really a personal view. I shared with some few privately. We need to be careful in how we not depend a lot on ICANN resources. We have to be careful. We need to avoid dependency. I know that's personal view, but this is my own experience when I joined NCUC and NCH. In the beginning, we didn't have such level, and we still did a lot of work. So when you have a dependency, that also creates some, we become complacent, and we forget that how we should do things. So it's just food for thought for now, but this is discussion we can have. It's more strategical, I think, discussion. It's beyond policy, but it's also how we can resource and staffing on our side that we can cover a lot of policy. We have to share the burden and the workload. It cannot just be the few people who are active to handle everything, because, I mean, there is no expectation that everyone will stay or last forever in this space. So a lot of issues to cover. And we have 6 minutes left in the call, and we have maybe few items to cover. So, but before moving that, any other further comment on the budget or question or any inquiry on this matter? Okay, no. So the next one is more like reporting, just an update. So it's about the non-contract party house intersessional and the council strategical meeting. So for the council strategical meeting, I think we give somehow some updates, and what you can expect is coming soon is the report. It's quite exhaustive, and it's with high level of notes or a summary of what we discussed there, and also a lot of action items and follow-up. And it's really setting up kind of roadmap for the council for the coming months and to cover several areas. And again, it's about the PDP. We are kind of really coming back to our core mission as a Genesis Council to focus on PDP and how we can support that, how we can manage that, and how we all those PDP can deliver. Because we have an issue that several working groups taking more and more time, and there is a risk that they don't deliver at the end. Okay, so for the intersessional, it was just after the strategic meeting, but with slight different attendance, and it was between the NCAG and the CAG, the commercial stakeholder group. It's different in the format, so we have in the beginning like kind of presentation, but we tried also to have common topics between the two groups that we can discuss, in particular the GDPR, about the review issues, including the SSR2. I don't recall all the topics we discussed, was just within 2 days, but it's kind of a meeting that we have every year. We are trying to work with our counterpart, the commercial stakeholder group, since we are living under the same roof. And so that means how we can get to together and try to work together in several areas while we acknowledge that we have a difference in point of view. So is there anyone from those who attended the intersession who want to add something regarding that? I think there will be some notes or a summary from the intersession, but I'm not following that closely. So, but my expectation that will be coming soon too. Anyone want to add something about the intersessional meeting? Yes, Sam.
Good morning, Sam. To the record, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you.
Okay. The one thing was made in passing at the sessional, and I've had several discussions with people who seem to know what's going on, but they're not very much, and that's that. There's a view, I think, within ICANN staff, probably CEO and board, that the PDP working group process has been working very badly for the last couple of years, in terms of progress, in terms of focus, in terms of dynamics. And something is being mulled over inside ICANN about that. I don't know what it is, but I think that we have to take seriously that there may be proposals coming down the road for significantly different ways of doing things. I have no idea what that might be, but I'm just raising that flag as something to think about, and to, if we can, do whatever due diligence we can to figure out we know what's wrong. We can see what hasn't worked well in the working groups for the last couple of years. What we don't have is an idea of thoughts about how to improve that. I just wanted to register that. That did come up when I raised the question at the intersession. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. I'm not sure it's the right, really, to say right to hear or appropriate hear from the CEO here. I mean, what he think about the PDPs, because he has different role. But however, so regarding to that issue and the perception about the some PDP, if we can name them like RDS and so on, we had that discussion in the strategic council meeting. And as maybe Aiden just shared that, there was kind of staff paper. It's kind of, I'm not going to say a position, but it was a document from the staff that we can start the discussion. And so one of action from the strategic meeting that we will work on our own white paper within the council, and something that we, to initiate the dialogue. So more details coming soon. And we had a long discussion on that matter in the strategic meeting, because we are observing that several PDPs are taking much more time, they are not delivering, and this is compared to previous PDP. But I think also the context changed, and that's what maybe we are missing, because we are initiating more and more policy work that was not the case before. So before we were really focusing on few items. Now, like, we have like three heavy policy development working group, really heavy, in new GTLD on rights protection mechanism on RDS. That was not wise decision. But some of them, like the RDS, was initiated by the board itself. So we are acknowledging this kind of issue within the General Council and starting the discussion. So we will work on a white paper and document and to try to, to set the scene for the dialogue. So, and also from the Council side, we are trying to see how we can manage and plan it better. So we will try to help more working groups and to liaise with their leadership in the way to work on those matters. I mean, also the dynamics within working groups are changing. We have more and more people. They are joining the working groups, and it's slightly different from before. And also we have much more kind of different interest. And I think for those in RDS working group, they are observing that. So it's hard sometimes to reach any consensus. And that's why it's taking time, and you are opening the same topics again over again. So we acknowledge this issue and it will be discussed. And I hope that the community to take the lead on this and the council will work on that. And it's not really a matter for the staff or the CEO to tell us how we should fix it. So it's really a matter for us to work on that. Any comments or question on this? Okay, we already passed the 2 hours for our call. It was quite a lively one, and we tried to cover so many things. Before joining the call, I know that Sam, you send a kind of question, or I mean, in your email with tattoo to the mailing list, you wanted to get feedback. Unfortunately, I think we don't have time today to do so. But I think everyone can comment to that on the mailing list. And we already covered somehow about the budget and give us some lead or guidance on what area that maybe you should cover. So I'm not kind of preempting anything here, but something probably can be followed up later on. And this is maybe for the long term. Yeah, if you want to add something or comment on this. Okay. No. Okay. So, yeah. I'm tempted to say let's adjourn the call. I think we covered all the matter we wanted. And I will try to follow up for the several items and the mailing list, because we don't have everyone in the call. And if we need to give, give justice to all this topic, we should continue the discussion demanding this so we can elaborate more and try maybe to articulate some solution. It's important. It's okay to rant, but also it's important to try to solve for a proposed solution and way to move forward. But it's also, it's important to listen to any concern and issue. So we have to cope with that and try to fix. Okay. Any comment or anything else? Otherwise, I will adjourn the call for today. Okay, thanks all. Bye-bye. And see you soon.
Thank you, everyone.
Nancy, you may disconnect all lines and stop the recording. Thank you very much for your time today. Bye-bye.